Well, brethren, what comes to mind whenever we think of the word endurance? The word endurance. Do you remember when you first tried to do something and it seemed hard to do? Like doing a cartwheel? Wow, that looks really scary to do. And you tried to do something and it seemed hard. Like even riding a bike. When I was growing up as a child, I lived on a very busy main street and I couldn't have a bicycle. My parents wouldn't allow me to have a bike because it was a dangerous area to ride a bike. But I had a friend down the street that had a bicycle, and I went down there to ride it, and I would ride it once in a while. And it was really a lot of fun to do it. Well, one day, got a new bike, and I'm riding on it. As I'm coming down, the bike wouldn't stop. And I said, what's happening here? I wasn't familiar with bikes and what was happening because I didn't have one. But when I was coming down and the bike wouldn't stop, I'm jamming my foot down, it wouldn't stop. And he said, press the handle, the one on the handles, the brakes. So I says, oh, okay. So I grabbed my hand, I squeezed the right handle, and the front wheel stopped dead, and the bike went right over, and I landed on my mouth and broke my front tooth. So if you ever see it doesn't look right, that's what had happened a long time ago, about 70 years ago. So it was really scary to ride a bike, and so I didn't do it for quite a long time. But it was something that I had to come to want to endure, that I could ride a bike. Well, then after we got married, I bought a bike, and we would go ride around in different areas. And one day I'm riding the bike and I'm riding along, and all of a sudden when I stopped the bike, it tipped over the side and I broke my elbow. So sometimes it's a little hard to endure some things that you think you can handle, that you can do yourself, or that you didn't think you could do. So you wanted to quit, or you didn't want to do it anymore. You didn't want to try anymore to do it. Sometimes it's also viewed as a painful word, often associated with trials or suffering. When I, again, one time I woke up many years ago with a backache, and it was so painful, I could not get up out of bed and walk. I couldn't go to work that day. It was so painful. It was really difficult to have something like that. Hard to endure physical problems in that way. So at times we think, well, I'll do anything that I have to do to cope with the pain or the suffering that I'm going through in my life at this time. So the closer, brethren, we are getting now to the end time, the more pressure is being put on all around us in our lives. And the harder it does seem for us to even be able to endure things we're dealing with every day. So some of us, unfortunately, as we know, have lost very close friends or relatives. And how sad that is, how difficult that is to have to deal with that. So even in spite of those things that are happening that we can't do anything about, we're coming to very trying times in our life today. So what are the options about this enduring? Well, the option would be to quit, or to take matter into our own hands and hold on tight like a roller coaster ride, like what we can do for ourselves. So today we're going to see what we can be doing, or should be doing, to be able to endure to the end. And the title of the sermon today is Endure to the End. Now, we don't have to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, Jesus said, "You shall be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." Now, he's not saying there you have, 5 years or maybe 10 years. Some of us here in the church today are here for over 40 years, maybe 50 years, and that's not enough. He's saying we are to endure until the end of our time, of our lifetime. So there isn't a number that we can pick to be able to satisfy ourselves with this problem. Now, the definition of endure means to cope with, to suffer, to bear up, to tolerate, to continue, to remain, to stick to itiveness, and to continue in spite of difficulty, to persist and not give up, to hang in there, whatever this is that we're dealing with. So it's the ability to remain active for a long period of time, as Jesus was telling us, he who endures to the end. So it is a response to a bad circumstance and the trials of life. The response to those things. It also involves continuing to work or to be active, even when you are tired or fatigued, to keep going with it, whatever it is. Now, the antonym of that would be to quit, to give up, to wither away, to shrivel up, or to surrender, to just give in to it. Now, there's an old saying that I found online once. It said, there is no royal road to anything, meaning that there's no shortcuts to any easy path. So there's no royal road to anything, no shortcut, and also one thing at a time, all things in succession. So he went on and said, that which grows fast withers as rapidly as that which grows endures. That which grows rapidly withers, and that which grows slowly endures. So we are not going to have these things happen quickly for us, necessarily. It may take a long period of time that it will endure, which means to last longer. So why should we endure? Why should we endure? You don't have to turn to Psalm 136, but one thing that we should, why we should endure is because God endures. God himself endures. Psalm 136 in verse 1, you don't have to turn there again. He says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So how long does God endure? The word is forever. His mercy endures forever and ever. Now, that phrase that is used here in this chapter is used 26 times. And in the whole Bible, it's used 41 times. That God will, his mercy endures forever. So he will grant us mercy because that lasts forever that he has. And it's not going to go away. His mercy will never leave from us. Is this how we view mercy, brethren? Is this how we endure showing mercy and kindness to other people in our lives? Whenever they have a need that they may be going through, that we can give them some help and support and show them mercy. Is that the kind of enduring mercy that we would have? Also in Psalm 103, we don't have to turn there either, but Psalm 103, verse 10, he says, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. So God has not punished us for everything that we have done in our life. And why? Because we read, his mercy endures forever. So God has such kindness and care and mercy that it will go on forever. So we see how important this word endurance is. It's something that is long lasting that we are going to be dealing with. His mercy endures forever, meaning giving undeserved kindness and compassion. Even though we don't deserve it, his mercy is there forever for us. How important do we see what endurance is meaning here? So endurance, brethren, is not just a word that we use or take lightly or only thought it to be as suffering that we are to be suffering with, to be enduring. It's remain committed to God, meaning not giving up or quitting, or even though our trials or problems are going on in our life, or that we have a weak character, to never, ever give in to it, that we are to endure, to be lasting with that God has shown us to be having, this endurance. Now also, the Bible is full of clear warnings of not turning away from our calling or from our salvation. The Bible speaks very strongly about that. We are to be careful that we don't give away those things. How important is it? We see that there are blessings and rewards of enduring, and also the consequences of walking away from God. So there are two things we see, blessings from enduring and also the consequences when we won't endure from when we're not following that. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse 5. It says here, keep your lives free from the desire of money and be content. In other words, be satisfied. Don't be desiring, being lustful for money, wanting it for yourself. And be satisfied with what you have, because God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, showing here that he will endure with us. So we don't have to keep our lives focused on things that we want just for ourselves, like money. He says, God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. If you're going through a trial in your life where you're having a problem with your finances or something, God will be there for you. You don't have to be looking for money. Verse 6, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid that what can man do to me? Verse 7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you and consider the outcome of their ways of life and imitate their faith. Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never go off track in our relation with him. Now, it said here, remember the leaders in the church. Now, he's talking about examples like Stephen or James, John's brother, where in Acts chapter 12, he was beheaded. And they suffered and endured to the end of their lives. But they had examples of, in their lives of being trustful in God. So we're to see, in spite of what things are happening that could be sad or difficult, we're to use these examples that they had, what they're enduring of problems, that they had trust in God, and they were not to quit. So Jesus is there to assist those of faith to finish their lives and to receive his promise of eternal life. He promised to be there forever. So how wonderful to know that we can depend on God and Christ to always be there forever for whatever we need, because he said he will never leave us or forsake us, but he will be there enduring with us during any problems. So God was putting up over a long period of time for those who were stumbling in their lives. Even ancient Israel, who did so many things that were wrong, he still had mercy and grace to them and brought them out of their difficulties that they had because of his enduring of mercy that he had. And as well, as we see those examples in the Bible, and also that he will do that for us whenever we are enduring a difficulty as well. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. It will begin in verse 7. As we are told here now, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh, or to please his sinful nature, shall of the flesh reap corruption or destruction. So if we're wanting for ourselves, it's going to wind up being destructive for us. Goes on, he says, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life forever. So if we're going to follow what's important, we will live forever. Verse 9, and let us not be weary or weak in well-doing, for in due time, or our end of life or time, we shall reap if we faint not. Meaning, don't give up, but rather endure whatever it is. So Paul here is making an important point for us to see that we will reap eternal life if we are not becoming weary or worn out to quit, rather to be enduring. Back in verse 9, he had said the warning that he mentioned, the warning, it extends to not fainting, meaning to relax to the point of failing or quitting or walking away from our calling. Not to be fainting in any way. Do we look around and see the things that we are fighting every day to continue hanging on to the spiritual things? Are we focusing on those important things and not walking in the way of the flesh or the human nature? At times, brethren, it seems like things can be much more than we can handle. Some things can be overwhelming to us, like I mentioned earlier about loss of a family member, how sad and how painful. I remember last year we went to my wife's sister's funeral up in New Jersey, and we went up there, and it was so sad to see it. Even though there were so many family members there we haven't seen for years, that was nice to see them. It was sad for the loss. It wasn't a pleasant day. No funeral can be a pleasant time for those that are there for the suffering. So also, it could be a severe illness that we may have to face in our lives that we're dealing with. I'll turn over to Romans chapter 7. This is a very familiar chapter here that we'll look through here for a bit. And Paul here spoke about how difficult it is for us in this fleshly body that we have. Now, again, back in Galatians, it did mention about how we are to be sowing the spiritual and not the flesh. But notice here Paul in chapter 7, verse 14. Paul says, "For we know that the law is of the spirit," meaning concerned with the spiritual things in our life. The law is something we're to be focused on spiritually, the important things. He says, "But I am carnal," meaning to continue to be subject to the pulls of the flesh. He says, "and sold as a slave under sin." Verse 15, the NIV says, "I do not understand my behavior or what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate to do, I do." So how amazing, brethren, that we can read this and say, yes, I've experienced that myself. I've done something that I didn't want to do, but yet I did it. Why did I do it? In verse 16, he says, "And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good." I'm not arguing with God's word. Even though I'm not doing it, I agree the law is good. Verse 17, "Now then, it is no more I that does it, but the sin that's dwelling in me." Verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing, for to will is present with me." To do God's word is present. It's in there. It's in my heart and mind that I want to do that, meaning to intend to do good. But how to perform that, which is good, I don't find it. I'm not doing it. Verse 19, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Verse 20, "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that does it, but the sin that is dwelling in me." Verse 21, now he says, "I find then this law, the other law he's showing here, which is I have discovered the principle of life, this law that he's interacting with, human nature, of that when I want to do good, evil is present with me. For again, he says, "I delight in the law of God according to my inner being, but I see a different law," meaning a power that's going on in my body, "warring against the law which my mind approves by God and makes me a prisoner, rather, of the law of sin which is still within me." Verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Who could be out there to help me through this turmoil in my life that I'm dealing with? Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind of myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So brethren, we have to realize that we are physically unable to do our own part, making our own decisions to do things. We must continue by using the power of God that he provides for us, that he will endure with us forever. Matthew 26, verse 41, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But yet we are to endure." In spite of that we have the weak flesh, we are still been told that we are to endure. Whether it's overcoming a weakness, dealing with our human nature, or suffering with an ongoing trial or pressure from others in our lives. So like Paul, brethren, we're gonna come to see that we have limitations in our flesh. Even though we know what we must be doing, the tendency for us is to become weary and faint. So one thing we want to look at here is that endurance builds character. Endurance builds character. Now, character means the mental and moral qualities special to an individual that form a person's nature and helps others to understand who they are. By their character, you could tell what kind of person they are. Now, as we know, Jesus had godly character. What kind of character are we having in our life today? Even though it gets harder to do as we go along, disobedience and sin causes guilt, as Paul was showing us. Yet God says he wants us to produce peace and joy in our life. And we heard about peace a little earlier, how important that is. Notice in Psalm 119, verse 65. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 65. Again, brethren, peace is a fruit of living God's way, not our way. Psalm 119, verse 65, he says, "You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. I went off track, but now I have kept your word." Verse 68, "You are good, and you do good, and you teach me your laws," the important laws of God. Verse 69, "The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease," meaning dull and unfeeling, "but I delight in your law." Verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your commandments. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver." So it's better to me that I have been afflicted. It's better that I have gone through a trial because I needed to learn something about myself that I need to change. I need to change this character that I've been doing the wrong things, even if they were coming across unintentionally. We were still doing it out of human nature. What about us, brethren? Do we appreciate the trials that we endure to see that God wants us to learn something from this? Or are we just agonizing because God says that we're just to endure? Just stick to it. Don't do anything. Don't worry about it. I've got to, that I should just grin and bear it. Rather, he wants us to see what we need to learn in terms of godly character. One who lives with God's word and will in our character, will show how we think and how we act. So too often, brethren, it seems like we are the only ones fighting upstream. Endurance rejects a selfish mindset of not seeing the importance of being like God. Endurance reflects a selfish mindset that we need to see the importance of God. So God warns us that the road will be difficult, and he wants us to learn something from this. And enduring implies that there will be trials. There will be things coming. And these trials will help us to build godly character in us. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll begin in verse 19. I'm reading this in the NLT version. 1 Peter 2, verse 19. He says, "For God is pleased with you when you do what you know is right and endure unfair treatment." So when we do something right and then we're not treated properly by somebody, maybe our boss in the job or someone that we have that was a friend that wasn't treating us properly, God is pleased with us when you're doing what's right and that we would endure unfair treatment. Verse 20, "Of course, you get no credit of being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong." So don't expect anything to come when you're doing wrong. God, you're not going to be going through that. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. Verse 21, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Jesus Christ suffered," or meaning endured, "for you. He is your example, and you must follow his steps." So, brethren, we've been slandered by people. We've been lied to from other people that we had been trusting for years in our lives, been involved as with false accusers against us in some situations. So, yes, we're enduring even things that we haven't brought upon us ourselves. And if we are going through things like that, that we're doing something right and enduring it, God is pleased with that. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Also, we're to follow Jesus' example of endurance, suffering to build character that is to be in us, rather than that carnal nature or character that will prevent endurance in our life. Romans 8, verse 16. Paul tells us here, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So again, in spite of what we may be going through, as his children that he is raising right now in this world, as he's called to be a part of his family, that we will be glorified together like Christ, as he suffered, and we may be suffering, we'll be glorified together with him. So if we're enduring suffering, we're going through trials, again, we'll be glorified with Christ. How wonderful. Verse 18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So what are we concerned about? Only the suffering that we're going through? Or we realize at the end result of our enduring and obeying God, what's going to be the future for it? We're going to be blessed with him forever with his glory. So God's Spirit in us allows us to see what's important, and whatever we're suffering with in this life can't compare to what awaits us, which is the promise of eternal life if we endure to the end. So point number one that we want to look at, after we realize we have to get our character changed or improved, point number one we want to look at now is that faith to endure. Faith to endure. Notice in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. Faith to endure. James chapter 1 in verse 2. James says here, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, meaning something good is coming from this. Count it all joy when you're going through something that's difficult in your life, whatever it may be, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience, that word means endurance, but let patience or endurance have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Through your patience, your endurance. Verse 5, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given to him, that God will give us a blessing in that way. So one thing that we have to be evident, brethren, if we are faithfully yielding to God's purpose for us, is that we will begin to develop the fruit of patience. And that word patience is interpreted as endurance. If we have endurance, we will begin to develop the fruit of endurance in our life. So enduring trials and persecution takes faith, as we're shown. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. Paul says here, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly. He's seeing how the faith of the brethren in that area right now are growing exceedingly, and the clarity of every one of you toward each other abounds. He's saying the faith that you have is showing the charity, rather, of everyone that you are dealing with in your life, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience, meaning your endurance, and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you have to endure, which is a manifest token of the righteousness of judgment, that you have been counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. So see how Paul recognizes the importance of our faith in God, that it's going to produce patience, endurance in our life. So how does this do this? By faith and endurance, that we can have Christ living in us. That's how it can come. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans 5 and verse 1. I'm reading in the ESV version. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto his grace, meaning his favor of God, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope, or the glory of God. And that will be ours. That hope, that glory of God will be ours. Verse 3, and not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the suffering produces patience or endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. Our hope is that by our faith, God will fulfill his promises. That's our hope. Our hope is by the root of faith that we know that God will fulfill his promises of receiving eternal life with God forever. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Jesus warns us about the time we'll be living in when he is to return, known as the time of the beginning of sorrows, mentioned earlier in the beginning of that chapter. But Matthew 24 and verse 9, it says, and they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, and you shall be offended, meaning to turn away from him. And many shall be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. So many here, many are considered thin-skinned, meaning those who were sensitive to criticism or insults and get upset about what people are saying or what they think about us. Now, by the way, this chapter, he's talking now to the church. He's not speaking to the world, okay? Talking about what's going to be happening at that time. Because going on now in verse 11, he says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity or sin that shall abound, the love or agape, godly love of many shall wax cold. So again, we're seeing here, he's talking about the church. When he uses the word that at that time, agape love will wax cold, he's not talking about the world because they don't know or have agape love. He's talking about the church, of what we're all going to be going through at that time, even the temptation to be taken away from him. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So in spite of how difficult it's going to be at the end time, where many even within the church are going to lose their first love, that agape love, we have to be careful that we're not getting caught in that and driven away and lose our endurance. So those who remain standing are being faithfully committed to God in what we're doing. And as we get closer to the end times and what Jesus is warning us to be aware of, he's saying that that endurance is critical to our salvation. If we don't have this endurance, we're not going to be there with him at that resurrection, that time. God's Spirit in us allows us to see what is important, and whatever we are suffering with in this life can't be compared to what awaits us if we will endure to the end. Point number two we want to look at. Point number two is, remember that at baptism we were told to count the cost. At baptism we were told to count the cost. Turn to Luke chapter 14. Jesus is speaking below to following him to be a disciple. Luke 14, verse 28, he says, for which of you intend to build a tower and sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has enough money to finish it? Verse 29, lest perhaps after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it will begin to mock him or make fun of him, criticize him, saying that this man began to build and was not able to finish. So counting the cost means to understand how badly something can be affecting you that we can't finish our calling or whatever it is that we are supposed to be building our future with. Not that we're building a tower in that sense physically, but we're talking about how we are to be doing this spiritually. So we wouldn't always be smooth sailing. We gave up all of our controlling ability when we were baptized. We gave that all up. I'm not going to do this anymore on my own. I want to give my life to God to give me the strength and the help. So we made a lifelong commitment at baptism to obey him and serve him and not quit, not give in. Do we see how important our commitment was, that we don't give up on it? Again, no matter how difficult the trials we experience, that we are desiring to fulfill his will in our life. Matthew chapter 26, you don't have to turn there. Matthew chapter 26, we see that Jesus was counting the cost in what he did, that he was willing to accept the events that were going to follow at that time. Matthew 26 and verse 36, Then comes Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and he said unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. So he told them, sit down and wait here. I'm going to go over and pray to God, the Father. And he made two prayers that he made, expressing his sorrow even to death, yet knowing the difficulty that he was going to be having to endure. He asked the Father's will to be done, not his will. He had enough to help from the Father to what he was going to go through. So he came and asked the Father for that help. That he was counting the cost to know what was there. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, you don't have to turn there, but it says we can be confident or convinced of this very thing, that he, Jesus, which had begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will perform that work in us forever. So God is not slack in giving us the help we need to overcome and endure. God's promise is a way of escape as long as we are striving to obey him. So like Jesus, we remember the promises of God that we are to count the cost, realize the consequences of good or bad, that we have to make a decision of what we're to do, that we have his spirit in us to help make that decision what to do. Point number three we want to look at now is that we ought to get our endurance, we get strength, to endure. We can be very comforted to know that God is dedicated to give us strength. He will give us that strength that we need. Proverbs 24 and verse 10, you don't have to turn there. Proverbs 24 and verse 10, it says, if you faint, or rather, if you're weak in the day of trouble, adversity, your strength is small. You're weak. So if we are weak in a time of trouble, then we don't have very much strength in us. If we're slack, rather, if we give up or we quit, or if we walk away in a troubling situation, or we give into discouragement or despair and not endure, and we'd be in the midst of affliction, anguish, and distress or tribulation, our strength could be weak in what we're going through. So we're not talking about physical strength. We need to be spiritually strong in order to endure, not physically strong. We don't have to be working out with all kinds of things to gain muscles. We need to be strong spiritually, and that comes from God. So we need a right attitude to know that strength and solutions are from God. So we have a wrong concept of enduring if we think that sitting out the trial. And if we are developing a generation that wants to bail out, quit, complain, or not be productive. Now we know in Corinthians, we won't turn there, but in Corinthians chapter 2, Paul had to endure 5 times he suffered 40 stripes from the Jews. He suffered 40 times, he went through that. Now, God knows our human limitations, and sometimes we can handle the situation or the problem, and other times we feel that we've reached the end, and our option appears only to give up. That now we're weak. We don't have the strength. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12. In verse 7. Second Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says, unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And he didn't want to be looked above for what he was doing in himself. But he was suffering from Satan, that he had hurt him with something. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord 3 times, that it might depart from me. And I said unto him, my grace is sufficient to you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, my problems, that the power or the strength of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. He says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. He will make us strong again, in spite of how weak we would have been going through something that we were being tortured by, even from Satan directly. So what's happening? It's a dependence upon God for his strength. It's important, brethren, that we realize our weakness or whenever we run out of endurance in a situation. We tend to find out our own way out of problems and not seeking God's strength for help, not looking to him. We want a quick answer right now for something by our own physical power to do something on our own. Whether it's a financial problem, we have to get through it. What do we do? How do I find out? How do I get out of this financial problem? Okay, go get another credit card and you'll be okay financially. That's not what we need. We don't need something like that. We need to know what God wants for us to be doing. Psalm 55 and verse 22, you don't have to turn there. He says, cast your burdens upon the Lord and he shall take care of you. He shall never permit the righteous to slip and to fall, meaning to have weakness, not be strong enough to stand up. But again, I asked myself, but I am weak. How many times have I fallen as well in my life? God increases strength by virtue of our trying and using his Holy Spirit. Don't have to turn there. Romans 15, verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Jesus Christ. So again, here, we're getting this from God, not from ourselves. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves. So brethren, there will be times in our life when we'll be tempted to give up because we're tired or we're weak or uncomfortable, or whenever we are nervous or afraid because we are in a new situation that's difficult. But notice he says he gives us a spirit of unity to give encouragement and help to others who are suffering and struggling to endure their difficulties as well. So we're not in this alone. As we know, God says his mercy endures forever. How about us? How about us and what he's giving us in his spirit? Are we going to endure that forever as well? That we will have the love and the concern to give help to others in our family or friends within the church that may be struggling to go through something and help them to get through their difficulties? God's glorious power will make us patient and strong enough to endure anything, and you will be truly happy, especially if we're able to use that enduring power that he's giving us to be able to help others, just as Christ is there for us forever. How are we with others? Psalm 68, verse 34. Let's turn there. Psalm 68, verse 34 says, proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose power is in the heavens. You, God, are awesome. You're in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be the Lord. So we often think of strength being offensive or arrogant or an attempt to belittle somebody else, that we're strong to do that. But for us, in enduring, strength means to be able to resist the force. Resist the force. And one key way to acquiring the strength that we're getting from God is through prayer. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Let's notice here King Asa of Judah. In the beginning of the chapter, it mentions that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, in the eyes of the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 9. And there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with a host of 1,000,000s, meaning over 1,000,000 men, coming in to fight them, and 300 chariots. And then came Marasa. And then Asa went out against them, and he set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathiah and Moriah. And Asa cried to the Lord of his God, and he said, "Lord, it is nothing with you to help, whether with many or with them that have only no power. Even if there is a whole big army or a million people, like we don't have, but even if we don't have any power, help us, Lord, our God, for we rest on you, and your name will go against this multitude. O God, you are our God, and no one can hope to defeat you." Verse 12, "So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." So the first place to begin growing in strength of endurance is by prayer and asking for his help for ourselves, that we don't have the power, that we're weak. Now, before God even called us to repentance and baptism, we had no strength at all. We were powerless. But yet now, once we're baptized, Christ lives in us, and we have the power and the ability to endure whatever God allows by his Spirit that is dwelling in us. Philippians 4 and verse 13, don't turn there. Philippians 4 verse 13, he says, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." How encouraging and exciting is that, to think we can do all things, no matter what it is, what problem we have, what weakness we have, what maybe addictions that we've been suffering with or others have had in on our family or lives, that we've had to deal with issues. Point number four we want to look at is that we are to focus on the goal. Focus on the goal, meaning what we are looking forward to. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So our goal is to win the race and to be with God in his kingdom by doing his will. We're going to have the ability to run that race and win it with him. Verse 2, he goes on and says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before," meaning awaiting him, "endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and it's set down at the right, and he set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3, it says, "For consider the hostility he endured from sinful people against him, that you may not become weary and give up as well," because of what we've seen of his example. So because of his faith, nothing distracted him of his goal of doing the Father's will. In order to endure, we need to see beyond the trials that we are going through, as Jesus did with joy. He understood that after he died, that he would be resurrected and restore his immortality. He was totally dependent on his Father, nothing of himself. He said, "Not my will be done, but yours." So are we overwhelmed by trials, or do we see the goal? How real is our hope? Another quick example to look at is Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 8. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing where he went." He didn't know where he was going. He wasn't familiar. He probably didn't even have a GPS with him on his horse or something. "But by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, their heirs with him in the same promise," which will be coming in the future. Verse 10, "For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God." So he looked ahead to what he should be seeing as a goal, that it was from God. Even though he couldn't see where he was going, we don't see everything we're going and what we're doing today and tomorrow. But if we have our trust and faith in God, we know that we're going to go where he wants us to go, because we want his goal to be a part of us as well. So he was focused on the end result of the city made by God. He had a vision of ahead. And that's how we endure, when we're looking ahead to God's promises that he has as a reality that will come from him. Point number five is that we don't accept failure. Failure is not an option. It's not an option. Sometimes God will make us wait a long time when we pray for something. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Notice Paul's positive perspective of how to view problems. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Verse 8, he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. So to build endurance in us is to keep trusting in him and looking at the positive perspective and not worry about something that will make us quit or fail. Going on in verse 16, drop down a bit. Chapter 4, verse 16, 2 Corinthians. He says, this is why we never give up or accept failure. Though our bodies are dying or our spirits are being renewed every day, for our light difficulties, which is but for a moment, works for us far more exceeding than eternal weight or glory. For our light afflictions, which are only for a moment. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but rather the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So anything we keep focused on that's only physical in this life could cause us to be a failure, to cause us to quit and give up because it's too hard to do and it's not going to happen. Even though he said, what we're going through, the troubles, but yet we're not distressed, and we're not in despair, and we're not forsaken. Look at the positive things he kept seeing from the things that were difficult. He didn't want to allow the negative things to cause him to quit. Point number 6, the last point we want to look at is that we're to make the most of every day. Make the most of every day. Now, some of the patriarchs that we look up and see in the Bible lived up to be over 900 years old. Now, few of us are in the church more than 40 years. Even though there's some of us that are pretty much on the way, we're not going to make it where they were at all. But it's old, but not that bad. So we're here 40 years or more. Now, people who are careless or negligent can become or depressed and sink further into themselves and their problems. But we only focus on what they're doing every day that's wrong, that's not good. I'm so bad before God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. Colossians 3, verse 23, he says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know what you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ that you are serving. So we are to make the most of every day in that sense. We're to be careful on how we are living. Psalm chapter 5 in verse 3. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 5 in verse 3. He says, my voice shall you hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto you, and I will look up. Meaning he will expectantly wait for his request before him. I will look up before God. So David is showing the importance of starting our day in prayer. How important is our day that we're doing something every day in a right way. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. Ephesians 5 and verse 10. It says here, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthlessness deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, correct them. Don't sit there and watch them. See what's happening today and make the correction. It is shameful to even talk about the things that are ungodly, that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines upon them. For the light makes everything visible. That's why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So we are to be careful, verse 15, careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. make the most out of every day in what we're doing. James chapter 1 in verse 12. It says here, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord promised to them that love him. So how important, brethren, is it that we never quit, but rather that we can continue seeking and doing God's will every day in our life through his help and power. That we endure to gain the strength and the solutions that are from God, not from ourselves. One scripture we want to look at here quickly is that Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Romans 8, verse 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? All these horrible things that could be happening? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long, but are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In spite of all it is, he's saying, we are conquerors. We will survive it. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So no matter how difficult things are, we have that endurance that is given to us by God's Spirit living in us. So brethren, as we get closer each day to the end times and the difficulties that are increasing, Jesus gave us instruction on what we're to be doing at this time to be sure to have the power to endure to the end, to be saved and have eternal life by his help. Let's not forget these 6 points that we mentioned. Point one, that we need to have faith to endure. Point two, that we are to count the cost on how badly something can be affecting us and what we need to be focused on. That we need the strength to endure by his Holy Spirit. That we are to focus on the goal to receive his promises. Point number five, that we don't accept failure, meaning not to be separated from Jesus and the Father. And last, that we are to make the most of every day by living God's word in our heart and mind and be an example to everyone of what Jesus was himself, that he is living in us to be an example that we will endure to be with him forever.